Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. This morning we continue the second in a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. The comic strip Peanuts features a little girl named Sally, a no-nonsense kind of person who's very matter-of-fact about the facts of life. One evening, Sally wished on a star. She said, "Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight, I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight." Then she said, "I wish I had a pony." She looked around, saw no pony, and then shook her fist in the air and shouted, "Stupid star." She learned that wishing on stars didn't work. What about prayer? Does it work? Does prayer get you what you are praying for? And if it doesn't, what is the point of praying? There's a popular kind of theology promoted today that teaches a name-it-and-claim-it view of prayer. You specifically mention to God what it is you want, and then you claim it by faith. Then you expect God to honor your claim of faith. If he doesn't, this means that your faith isn't sufficiently sincere. So you need to keep on naming and claiming the things that you want. God becomes the heavenly vending machine. Prayer is putting coins in the machine and pushing the button. If you don't get what you want, you didn't put enough money in, or you didn't push the right button. Do you want help in your relationships? Do you need a better paying job? Are you suffering from addiction? Is your health failing? Do you need better hearing, sight, or just more energy to get through the day? Specify what it is you want from God and then pray for it. Believe that you will get it, then wait. God will give you what you want. And of course, all this is nothing but idolatry. It is taking the relationship between God and us and turning it upside down. God is God. We are not. God determines what is most important for us. We don't. If God is to be our Father and we are to be His children, it must be our Father who decides what we need. And so it is our Father who decides for what we ought to pray. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer sets the tone for the petitions that follow. We pray, "Hallowed be thy name." The name of God is holy because God is holy. We cannot make holy what is already holy, but we can be a part of the hallowing or sanctifying of God's name. The name of God is not to be mixed together with the names of idols. The name of God is put upon us when we are born from above and become children of God. In holy baptism, we hear the name of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we are confessing that there is no other God but the God in whose name we are baptized. There is a tight connection between the first petition of the Lord's Prayer and the second commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." To call on God as our Father is the way to use God's name. It is a misuse of God's name to use the name of God or of Christ as an expletive, as if the name of God's only begotten Son should be used along with words for excrement as an expression of surprise or annoyance. When we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we are promising that we will speak God's name with reverence and that we will not misuse his name. We are promising to honor the second commandment every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. The name it and claim it advocates don't understand what prayer is. Prayer isn't the means by which we get God to do what he doesn't yet want to do. Prayer isn't given to us as a means of obtaining from God what he otherwise wouldn't give us. Rather, prayer is how we participate in the hallowing of the holy name of God. Prayer is far more precious and helpful than just a means to an end. "I want this, so I'll say that." Prayer is laying claim to much more than good health, more money, or more satisfying relationships. Prayer is laying claim to God himself. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We can speak words and we can do deeds that come before the presence of the holy God and are pleasing to him. Just think of this. We who were conceived and born in sin, we who cannot lift ourselves up to heaven no matter how we try, we who have failed to be what we must be in order to be pleasing to God, we may boldly call God our Father and presume to ask him to make his name holy among us. When God justifies sinners, he's not pretending. God doesn't just act as if he forgives us all our sins for Christ's sake. He actually takes our sins off of our souls and brings them back to the cross where Jesus died and lays them on him. More than that, he takes the obedience of Jesus, who never failed to pray in perfect submission and purity, and he reckons to us that obedience and clothes us with Christ's righteousness. The Bible says this clearly: by the obedience of the one, the many shall be made righteous. Romans 5:19. And this is made crystal clear by the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus invites us sinners to ask God to hallow his own name, that name that is holy in and of itself, with the pure, sinless glory that belongs to God alone. That we sinners could be a part of this means that we sinners are forgiven of our sins and have become saints. We must be holy if we can pray that God's name be holy. Only the holy can expect anything to be hallowed. For those who are bound by sin, everything they touch becomes sinful and unclean. But we are invited to touch God because we have become holy through the blood of Jesus. The Word of God is what brings us to faith. That is, God brings us to faith through the preaching of his Word. St. Paul writes, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, we remain in our sin. And this is why the pure teaching of God's Word is necessary. Unless we have the right faith, we cannot hallow God's name. Those who teach false doctrine do the very opposite of hallowing God's name. They profane it. To profane something is to take what is essentially holy and treat it as if it is not. To deny the truth of what God teaches us is to profane God's name." On this point, there's much confusion in the church today. Folks hear the word doctrine or the word teaching, and they immediately think of human beings who teach a certain doctrine. They don't consider the simple fact that God is our teacher. It is God's doctrine that the church has received. It isn't the doctrine of men. Jesus is called rabbi or teacher. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be taught by Jesus. The pure doctrine doesn't come from the church. It doesn't come from clever theologians. It doesn't come from seminary professors or parish pastors. It comes from God. And it is taught in the words of the Bible. You can know the pure teaching that God himself teaches by reading your Bible. Concerning the Sadducees who denied the resurrection of the body, Jesus said that they erred in their doctrine because they did not know the Bible. To hallow God's name is to teach according to the Bible. To profane God's name is to teach in his name what is contrary to the teaching of the Bible. Pure doctrine comes from God. False doctrine comes from the father of lies. St. Paul warns about false doctrine repeatedly, especially in the pastoral epistles where he gives instructions to Timothy and Titus. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, we read, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Nowadays, doctrines of demons are given equal rights with God's Word. Those who are unwilling to condemn the false doctrine cannot confess the true doctrine, and they cannot hallow God's name. If I deny that a sinner is saved by grace alone, I profane God's name. If I deny that God wants all sinners to be saved, I profane God's name. If a man teaches that the Bible contains errors, that baptism doesn't regenerate a sinner by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord's Supper is not the true body and blood of Jesus, that women may be ordained as pastors in the church, that homosexuality is not a sin against God, this man profanes God's name, no matter how pious he may sound when he prays, "Hallowed be thy name." Because God's name is hallowed when his word is taught in its truth and purity, not when false doctrine is taught, tolerated, and defended. God's name is hallowed when we who call ourselves Christians live holy lives. What is a holy life? First, it is a life lived by a holy person. You don't become a holy person by living a holy life. First, God makes you a saint, and then you can live a holy life. God makes you a saint by forgiving you all your sins, and he does this by his gospel that brings Christ to you and makes him your own. Then a saint lives a holy life. This is what hallows God's name. When you respond to a cruel comment with friendly words, you hallow God's name. When you do the job that is given you to do without complaint, you hallow God's name. When you give to those who cannot repay you, when you keep your promises, when you listen to the troubles of others, when you defend the reputation of someone being maligned, you hallow God's name. The Christian who in baptism bears the name of the Holy Trinity hallows the name by which he was sanctified when he lives as God has called him to live. Now, it does not look impressive. It may not seem as exciting as naming and claiming all sorts of material benefits from God. However, to know that your Christian deeds, sin-tainted and as imperfect as they are used by the holy God to hallow his holy name is to know an honor that all of the material blessing in the world cannot bestow. The privilege of praying, "Hallowed be thy name," and knowing that God sanctifies his name in our midst is pure joy. So we ask God to keep his word taught purely among us and to keep us living holy lives. When false doctrine is taught, we ask God to uproot it and silence it. When we bring shame on God's name by unholy living, we ask God to bring us to repentance, to forgive us our sins for Christ's sake, and to lead us in the paths that he has called us to live. Amen. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We invite you to attend one of the congregations of our parish. We have church every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, at 9:30 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and at 11:30 at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. We'd love to have you come visit us, and please tune in next Sunday morning, same station, same time, for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.